outdoor to the Tennessee Titans coaches' offices has been getting much more use over the last week than the indoor has, as Brian Callahan is still, I guess, in the early stages of filling out his staff. But wide receivers coach Rob Moore already has moved on to the Panthers. Defensive line coach Terrell Williams has already moved on to the Lions. Tight ends and former running backs coach Tony Dews has moved on to the Jets. Offensive line coach Jason Hodling has moved on to the Bears. But things are certainly picking up, it would seem, for the indoor. In fact, minutes before we sat down to record this podcast, this episode of Believe in Titans, comes word out of Cleveland that the Browns have given the Titans permission to talk to one Bill Callahan, whose name has come up in recent weeks in this very podcast. The expectation is they will let him come to Tennessee, even though it will be a lateral move. So it looks very much like Bill Callahan will be the Tennessee Titans offensive line coach. Assuming that happens, he will join defensive coordinator Denard Wilson, who is coming from the Baltimore Ravens, and wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert, who is coming from the Bears. None of these have been officially announced by the team to this point, but there is a common thread starting to develop here with some of Brian Callahan's targets and hires to this point. Obviously these things will become official. There will be more names surfacing for other positions in the coming days and weeks. But this is where things stand at this moment as we sit down, as usual, with the former Titans cornerback Denard Wilson. Denard, how are you, sir?
Denard Wilson,
real Denard, David. Listen to me. I knew he was gonna do that.
This is the first time in 4 years I've ever heard the name Denard. We're gonna be talking.
You are old news at this point when it comes to the Titans Denards now. Although we should note the spelling is different. Denard Wilson.
I don't play second fiddle to no man.
What's that?
I don't play second fiddle to no man. I got one in my name, but I know what you said, David.
Congratulate you, Denard, on the big move. You know, you're coming home. It's a great thing.
I apologize for that.
No, don't apologize. Don't apologize because you said a common theme, and it was like, okay, we got a Denard we're talking about, and we got my man Ty T, who I've been knowing for over 30 years.
Oh, is that right? Good. So we'll have some.
He's an LSU guy.
It's all about the LSU guys. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I'm well. Hope you guys are.
Doing great. And I am David Beauclair. The common theme that I referenced is, and not surprisingly, Brian Callahan seems to be largely in contact with guys he knows, has worked with, certainly he knows his father quite well. Tolbert is a guy he worked with in Denver. One of the offensive coordinator candidates to this point, Nick Holtz, he and Brian Callahan went to high school together. And Holtz's first job in coaching was under Bill Callahan at the University of Nebraska. So, you know, I think it makes perfect sense that for a first-time head coach, he is looking for some familiarity and some comfort with guys that he knows, even though he did say too that he wants sort of a broad range of ages, if you will, for his staff. And even with these first couple hires, it looks like he might be able to accomplish that. So Denard, you've talked about Bill Callahan and what it was like to play against his teams when he was head coach of the Raiders, and We've gone on about the struggles of the offensive line. There's obviously going to be personnel changes, but how much better is this Titans offensive line automatically with Bill Callahan as the position coach there?
I don't know if it's going to be automatic, David, but if they can get some new pieces in there, it'll definitely make a difference for this upcoming season. I don't think a coach is going to change everything. A lot of it's going to come on the players, but when you talk about Bill Callahan and you look at his resume, David, speaks for itself. That's his pedigree, his offensive line. And I told you, David, I played against Bill Callahan since I was back in 1999, and that Raiders unit, their offensive line, that was their strength. I mean, Lincoln Kennedy and all of those, Wisniewski, he has some studs, and they were what I call, technically, they were sound. And that's what you want for this unit up coming in next season, because the way that we saw them play this past year, there's not really a nice word to put it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's really, that's right. If you don't have anything nice to say about somebody,
None at
don't.
all.
So we'll leave the offensive line alone in that regard. Just for a little perspective, the first time that Bill Callahan was an offensive line coach specifically as his title was back in 1987 with Northern Arizona University. He had the same job at the University of Wisconsin with the Philadelphia Eagles. More recently with the Dallas Cowboys, with the Washington Redskins, now the Commanders, of course, and for the last 4 years with the Cleveland Browns. The vast majority of his coaching career, which dates all the way back to 1980, has been coaching this position. John, should we be surprised about this, that the Browns are willing to let this move happen, or did you assume that this was going to be the move all along, and how big a get is it for Brian Callahan?
I think it's a huge get. I think it was assumed all along. I think that Brian Callahan would at least try to bring, his dad in here. I think it certainly would, had to be considered a very wise move given the vast experience Bill Callahan has. But yeah, I thought it was, a little bit uncertain as to whether Cleveland would let that happen. Could certainly understand Cleveland standing in the way. I mean, obviously, Bill Callahan is a tremendously respected assistant coach, offensive line coach. I think he was one of, if not the highest paid staff member on the Cleveland Browns staff. And you certainly could have seen the Cleveland Browns saying maybe, hey, okay, we'll let you do that, as long as we can work something out, maybe some kind of an exchange of a draft pick or something along those lines. But I mean, it speaks a lot towards, class organization like the Cleveland Browns, that they would allow the father to be kind of reunited with the son. And not stand in the way, not hold him up for ransom, if you will. So I think it's gonna be great. Brian Callahan is obviously a first year head coach. What better to have as a sounding board than your own father, who has been a head coach, who has been an assistant for so long, and is a great offensive mind. And oh, by the way, he's gonna coach up the heck out of that offensive line. So I think this is great news for Titans and Titans fans.
Yeah, one thing I remember from back in the day with some of his early offensive lines is defenses hated playing against those guys. There was talk of them being borderline dirty or sometimes just being outright dirty and him coaching some borderline techniques. But that's what an offensive line should be, right, Denard? I mean, they should be a bunch that gets under the opponent's skin, that guys don't want to line up against them. Ultimately, that's what you're looking for, isn't it?
Well, do you remember John Runyon?
I do remember John Runyon.
John Runyon was the nastiest player I've ever seen in my life. And I'm talking about to his teammates until he ran into a right hook from J-Rob, James Roberson.
Oh, wow.
And
Okay.
yeah, but we know who the offensive line coach was back then. Munch.
Mike Munchak,
You're talking
yes.
about the Hall of Famer. So they cut
Mild-mannered Mike Munchak,
mild mannered, but
but I think completely different on the field probably when he played.
completely different. Yeah, two different animals. One of the most calmest individuals in the locker room, never raised his voice, but on the field, you're talking about an animal. But that's what you want, David. I mean, look at this. Look at the way the offensive line played last year. You want an offensive line that's just like you said, nasty. I want some guys that are willing to fight. Look at Kelce over at Philadelphia. Look how many altercations he has a game. I mean, it's like an every game occurrence. How many times did you see the Titans offensive line in a scuffle last season?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Think about
Yeah. Yeah.
it.
And as a team that ran the ball too, you think that that they would
Yeah.
have some of that attitude. But after we said we weren't going to bag on the offensive line here today,
Go ahead. I mean, you need a Taylor Lewan. You want some of that. Don't you want some of that old school mentality? I mean, you remember how Taylor played the game? It was nasty. He'll spear a guy. And then I remember sometimes we do a podcast, and I'm not going to say a name, but as an individual said, well, he deserved it. He got knocked out. No, I said, that's what you want out of your offensive lineman. You want somebody nasty, dirty. That's the way the game is supposed to be played in the trenches.
And you want somebody giving them license to play that way, I think too, to light that fire under them and give them sort of the green light to go ahead and be that kind of unit. And to your point, John, you wonder if the Browns wouldn't have, and maybe they considered said, well, give us a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick in 2026 or something like that. Not really putting up a fight, but saying, look, we ought to get something for giving up one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. And let's face it, that bunch he had at Cleveland this year was really, really good. And I think you could say from a talent standpoint, they were certainly were a better unit than what the Titans had. But when you lose a Nick Chubb early in the season to a knee injury, and you can still be an effective offense running the ball and doing the things that Cleveland did, without Deshaun Watson. Oh, by the way, too, you end up with Joe Flacco, who's 87 years old back there, and they still protected him well enough that he was putting up big numbers late in the year. I think this is, I think Denard makes a good point. Coaches can only do so much. You've got to have talent, but this is when you're looking at a proven track record, this is about as proven as it gets. And the Titans are and it's a dramatic departure from Jason Hoetling, who was basically brand new to the role this past season. So it we'll see how this goes from here, but it's certainly good news. What's that, John?
No, I was just gonna just toss in one little tidbit. I was gonna say, Bill Callahan, it's not just like he's got a reputation of, hey, his guys are great pass protectors, or his guys are great run blockers. He's really had both over the years, offensive linemen that kind of excelled in both aspects of the game. And there's one little nugget that I thought explained that pretty well. And this is well back. This is back in 2002, when he was with the Raiders, and when he was offensive coordinator. And his team that year became the first team to win games in the same season while rushing at least 60 times in one game and passing at least 60 times in another game. And that same year, they set a franchise record for fewest sacks allowed for 28. So it kind of speaks to, the diversity that he builds, I think, in offensive lines over the years. And heaven knows the Titans offensive line could use as much help as they need, especially when it comes to pass protection.
You wonder if that was a formative season for now coach Brian Callahan, who he was obviously just a teenager at that point, but he talked about it at his introductory press conference. I think we discussed it last week that he said there's no balance to be had necessarily if one thing is going to work better than the other on a particular week. He said, what, the idea that, oh, we're going to make sure we run the ball X amount of times every week, or we're going to spread it out and throw it X amount of times. He said, forget that. We're going to do whatever we have to do to win. And that's, I mean, that's exactly the kind of thing, that he was talking about, I think. So maybe that was a really formative season for him. Excellent point, John. All right, Denard, you teased it for us. You know the Titans' new wide receivers coach, Tyke Tolbert. What do we need to know about him?
He's a player's coach. I'm telling you right now, NWI, Treylon Burks, D-Hop, you're going to like and you're going to love playing for this man. I had a chance to be coached by him when I was at LSU. He was a grad assistant in 1994. He's been in the game for almost 30 years. He's coached at Florida, Auburn, all the Louisiana colleges, Monroe, Lafayette. And what he's going to bring, it's weird that so you're replacing Rob Moore, who played the game for a long time, my former teammate. Now you bring in Tyke Tolbert and you say, what do you get out of him? He's going to coach you hard. I mean, he was on, and you know what I love about this hire is the fact that Coach Callahan and Tyke, I call him Tyke T, they were on the same staff in Denver from what was it, 2011 to 2016. And they were both on that Super Bowl when they won the Super Bowl 50. Coach Tyke was the receivers coach back then.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I read that he is he survived a couple different coaching changes there too. It's one of those guys that sort of puts you in the mind of Arthur Smith here, and how he endured through several different head coaches, and that's always it was certainly was a good sign for Arthur Smith and what he was ultimately able to accomplish here. So maybe it's the same sort of thing. John, I think similar though to the offensive line coach that Tyke Tolbert's going to need to get some better players than what Rob Moore had these last couple years. Yes?
Absolutely. It's kind of when you look at his background a little bit too, he comes off 2 years in Chicago as wide receivers coach and the passing game coordinator. And first thought is, wow, that was not exactly high level fireworks, for the wide receivers and the passing game in Chicago. But I think if you look a little closer to that point, David, like the people that he had in 2022, for instance, his top receiver, the guys were Darnell Mooney, who's a decent deep threat, but not a number one type receiver by any stretch, and the tight end Cole Kmet. And then this year, things got a little bit better there because he had DJ Moore, and not only did he have DJ Moore, but he turned DJ Moore into the best version of DJ Moore in his 6 seasons in the league. DJ Moore had 96 catches last year, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns. So there's something to be said about what Tyke Tolbert did with him, even though Chicago's passing game in general wasn't great. But I think you obviously have, when you've been around the league as long as Tyke Tolbert has, you have to look far deeper into the track record. And you were talking about those years that he spent in Denver under several different coaches. Another little kind of interesting stat nugget was 3 straight years out there, or at least 3 straight years is what I was looking at. He had two receivers go over 1,000 yards. I think it was Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker for 2 straight years, and then I think it was Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders the year after that. Pretty impressive. That doesn't happen too often that you get 2,000-yard guys. And just some of the other guys he's coached, you see an Eric Molds and a Lee Evans in Buffalo as well. So, and the fact that he's had longer stints, like you mentioned too, that he has been under numerous head coaches is a pretty positive sign too. It's not one of those situations where every time the head coach was fired, that the next one cleaned house. He's been a survivor at least a couple of times during his tenure.
Yeah, and I think your point about DJ Moore speaks to the fact that, obviously he's had a long career in this position. He's probably got a broad range of experiences, but he certainly comes in here. You can almost say he's stepping into the exact same type of situation that a DeAndre Hopkins equates to DJ Moore, and Treylon Burks can equate to a bit of a Darnell Mooney there, and there, in terms of some untapped potential. So the transition, I guess, might not be that big for him in terms of, okay, this is what I have, and this is what I have to figure out how to get the best out of all these pieces. It should be a fairly true smooth transition for him. I think that's everybody, the offensive line and the wide receivers, like I say, we talked about them often during the course of this season. Those are two groups that need to be better. The Titans defense was pretty darn good at times. I'd say a lot of times in 2023, and now, as we mentioned, they got their guy Denard Wilson, who comes from the Baltimore Ravens, where he spent the past season as defensive backs coach. Before that, he was with the Philadelphia Eagles and accomplished some pretty good things there too. Denard, do you know much about him? Have you seen him? Certainly, defensive back play, and you've seen the Ravens. What do you think he's bringing to this defense as a whole now? This is for the Titans.
Well, I tell you what, this young man, 41 years old, went to the University of Maryland, played safety there. He can coach. He's a great young mind. He's a schemer. And what I mean by that, he's not just going to sit in one coverage. He's going to disguise a lot of the coverages, which can end up helping the cornerbacks as well as the safeties. But I look at his resume, and I think when you're coming in for an interview, if I'm a general manager, Rand Carthon, I'm kind of looking and saying, who have you coached and what have you done in this league? And David, when you look at that Phillies secondary in 2022, don't you think that Bradberry and Darius Slade, they had a pretty good year but on that en route to the Super Bowl?
They were pretty darn productive, yes.
Pretty doggone good. And you know who the passing game coordinator and the secondary coach was?
It was our man Denard,
Denard Wilson.
the second most popular Denard we know.
I ain't gonna go that far, but then I look at 2023. What was interesting about that Ravens defense is they did what we call a something that really doesn't happen. And you're thinking about it, they had what was it, 16 and a half yards allowed again, was it points per game? And then talk about sacks, 60 sacks. And then 31 takeaways. I mean, you don't see that very often, and you wonder why they had a high caliber defense. And when you look at the players, I mean, they got some monsters back there. And one name that in particular that stands out, and that's Cal Hamilton. Have you watched how good that young man has gotten over the last few years since being drafted number one out of Notre Dame?
You couldn't miss him Sunday. I mean, even though the Ravens lost that game against the Chiefs, Hamilton was the guy who showed up play after play after play.
He's all over the field. He's all over the field. So if you're a money hooker, you're sitting back and you're clapping. You're saying, this is what I want. I'm serious. You want somebody that not only has played the position, but they know how to put you in position to succeed. This, I'm going to tell you something. He can coach. And not to mention, when you talk about familiarity, it seems like it's a theme because him and Rand Carthon was on that staff back in St. Louis. But when both of them was coming out of or trying to break into the league.
So yeah, again, that's the connection here, and it seems like connections are a big part of this. John, Wilson, I think, was a name that or a guy that certainly people had an eye on going into this coaching cycle. And you look now, Mike McDonald is leaving the Ravens, their defensive coordinator, to go be head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. So theoretically, at the very least, Denard Wilson could have had an opportunity to take over the Ravens defense, or he could have gone with McDonald to Seattle and taken over the defense there. I mean, it feels like this was a guy who was going to have opportunities. Same sort of thing. Is this a big get for the Titans?
think on paper it's a great get. You couldn't really ask for a better resume than this in terms of what the Titans need. As you mentioned, yeah, this was a guy who was drawn in just around the league. Already interview requests by the Giants, by the Rams, by the Packers. The Giants had already done a virtual interview with him earlier here in the postseason. So clearly a popular guy. And yeah, even though the Ravens moved quickly and made their linebackers coach their new defensive coordinator, I certainly think that Denard Wilson would have been in the mix there. And yeah, what I like about it is you guys have referenced too, is that every guy you hire as a coordinator, he's going to have a specialty. Whether it's he's a D line guy or a linebackers guy or a secondary guy. Well, you couldn't ask for a better specialty as far as the Titans are concerned, because that secondary has been such a struggle the last few years than a DB guy with Denard Wilson there. And yeah, I think we have to mention too, we talked about the Rams. Yeah, his first 5 years were under Jeff Fisher, as head coach of the Rams. What was Jeff Fisher's specialty? Of course, defensive backs. He
Secondary.
was a defensive back himself in the league. So yeah, I think again, on paper, this is the guy you absolutely had to have. The odd thing that I came across and kind of looking at his background, I think it's kind of struck me just as unusual. They had that great year in Philadelphia in 2022 where they were number one against the pass, a ton of takeaways. And after that season, Philly's defensive coordinator left. Jonathan Gannon went to coach the Arizona. And naturally, you would have considered Denard Wilson being a candidate for the defensive coordinator job there. But oddly enough, Nick Sirianni not only passed him over for that, then fired him after the 22 season in which the Eagles defense had the best pass cover, pass defense in the game. So really weird, and it really certainly didn't pan out for Nick Sirianni, because he gave that job to Sean Desai, who ended up basically getting demoted during the season and replaced. Meanwhile, they could have had Denard Wilson in that position. So weird thing there, but it all works out for the best for the Titans, because if he'd been a defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, maybe certainly he's probably not available at this point.
Yeah, you wonder if Desai, had a guy that he wanted for that position, or how exactly that all played out. But again, I think the point is it played out for the to the Titans' benefit, or so it seems right now. We'll see how that goes. The offensive coordinator spot has not been filled, but according to reports, there have been at least three candidates who have emerged. Titans want to talk to Jacksonville's passing game coordinator Nick Holtz, Tampa Bay quarterbacks coach Tad Lewis, and Miami associate head coach and running backs coach Eric Studsville. And again, when we're talking about connections, Studsville and Callahan have spent time together in Denver. Nick Holtz is the guy I mentioned. He and Brian Callahan went to high school together, and you wonder if these two, as 15, 16-year-olds, dreamed about being together on an NFL staff somewhere at some point. John, we'll start with you this time. Any one of those guys make more sense to you than the others?
It's hard to look away from Eric Studsville here, and just in terms of the incredible amount of background and experience he has. The other guys strike me as guys that are up and coming, bright guys that are probably going to be ready pretty soon. Nick Holtz was with the Jaguars last year for one season as the passing game coordinator. Trevor Lawrence was okay, but actually last year, his stats dipped actually a little bit from the year before, when Nick Holtz was there. Thad Lewis, quarterbacks coach at Tampa Bay, really, put some juice back into the career of Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield ends up with a Pro Bowl year after, his career was kind of, nobody knew what was next there. So I think those guys are up and comers, and maybe a little seasoning would do them right. But really, I think the lead guy has to be Studsville, who's been in the league, 27 years. He's had all kinds of roles. Obviously, he's been the running backs coach for for over 20 years, but he's also been an associate head coach. He's been an interim head coach. I could go on. He's had 11 running backs go over 1,000 yards on his watch. Last year, Raheem Mostert, 31 years old, never gone over 1,000 yards. Boom, it happens with Studisville there. Meantime, rookie Devin Achane is going over 800 yards as well. All good signs. And then, we talked about assistants that survive under different head coaches. Studisville, another guy who did that. In Denver alone, he was with four head coaches: Josh McDaniels, John Fox, Gary Kubiak, and Vance Joseph. A very good sign, as you guys noted with Arthur Smith, when different head coaches coming in really respect you to the point that they're not intent on bringing their own guys in. That says a lot about you.
Yeah, a guy who was with the New York Giants in 2000 when they went to the Super Bowl, or I guess it was right after their Super Bowl, excuse me, right after their Super Bowl appearance. He went there and worked with Tiki Barber during some of Barber's best days in the NFL. He was with Buffalo when Marshawn Lynch was drafted there, and helped shape him. He's had a lot of success in this league. He of these three candidates too, he is the elder statesman at 56 years old. Would be would add a little bit more experience to that group. I find it I think it's going to be really tempting though for Callahan to look to his buddy Nick Holtz and maybe even treat him. We talked about it last week, the way Zach Taylor sort of groomed Callahan in Cincinnati. He could do the same thing. Holtz is a guy he can do the same thing with there, and because Callahan's going to be calling the plays, so that this is not going to be necessarily the traditional offensive coordinator, whoever it is. Denard, as you look at that list, which is the name that pops out at you?
I'm gonna go with Eric Studsville for the simple reason and because of experience. And in particular, I go back to that 2010 season. I thought he did a pretty good job in replacing Josh McDaniel when he was fired. He was the interim head coach for the Broncos.
Yeah, and that's that always says something too when guys get tapped for that kind of role, especially a guy who's not been a head coach. Sometimes that's the easy way to go, and a guy who hadn't been and gets tapped, I think that speaks to how his players feel about him and how they react to him. Now, he only won one of four games, but that wasn't a particularly good team to begin with there. So
It's
you know, you
Tim
do what,
Tebow's year.
yeah, that's right. I mean, you do
Know.
what you can in an interim role, and especially with just a couple of weeks like that, you're not a lot of time to get things done. As we move into the home stretch here, though, I mentioned Mike McDonald going to Seattle, and then following that, the Washington Commanders named Dan Quinn, the Dallas defensive coordinator, their head coach, and suddenly there are no head coach openings left, which means Mike Vrabel is out of a job for the foreseeable future. Denard, is that a good thing for Mike Vrabel? Is that a particularly surprising thing, do you think, or should we have expected maybe he wants to take a little break after 6 years here with the Titans?
How much money did he make last season?
John, do you know? I don't know what the contract was.
It was
I
in the
believe
millions,
it.
right?
Yeah.
Indeed.
So he's not going to miss out on anything by taking just a little time off and maybe work on his tan for a year.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this last week too. It feels like there is a sort of new wave of coaches rolling in, and while Vrabel is not Bill Belichick old school. Quinn is a recycled head coach here, but Vrabel sort of seems to be somewhere in between the new age and the old group or the old guard who's being forced out here. John, how surprised are you, and do you assume this is temporary, and that Vrabel will get back on a sideline within a year or so here?
I would think so. I did. I actually read something today that I thought was kind of curious. One of the Miami Dolphins reporters wrote a column saying, "Hey, Mike Vrabel is the perfect defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins," which would be interesting. I'm sure he might be, but I'm not sure that Mike McDaniels would like to necessarily have that presence looming in the background as a former head coach with a monstrous personality. I think pretty clearly it would be head coach or bust for Mike Vrabel at this point in his career after doing it for 6 years. But maybe this is a good situation for Mike Vrabel. I'm sure obviously it was a gut punch for him, to get fired in this job after a lot of success in the first 4 years. And maybe this is that moment, where Mike Vrabel looks in the mirror and says, "Wow, maybe I gotta reconsider some things here." We've talked about how much we hear the word collaboration being used, by the Titans right now. They're not the only team though that does seem to be much more of that than we have seen in the past. And, when you think of Mike Vrabel, you think a lot of good football things, but you don't necessarily think of the word collaboration. So maybe this is kind of a wake-up call in some respects for Mike Vrabel. We all know he knows football very well. He knows relationships with players very well, but maybe he's got to make some changes a little bit to alter that personality as much as anybody can, to not be so all-consuming, I would think. In an organization, and maybe that makes organizations a little bit more welcome to bring him back in as a head coach.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he doesn't have a track record as a defensive coordinator to fall back on, right? I mean, he did it for 1 year
One
in
year,
Houston.
and
They
it
were
didn't go
injury
well.
ravaged and terrible statistically. And so, I don't know that a lot of people would look at him and say, "Oh yeah, that's the guy I want to lead my defense," or for him to look at that as a way to sort of rehabilitate his career the way a Dan Quinn did, for example, by going to Dallas there. And so his I think he's very much viewed as a head coach. And as of right now, he's an out of work head coach, and will stay that way. But it's he, of course, he was under contract. It's not the worst thing to sit out and let the Titans pay you for a year. So I guess this time next year, maybe we will be talking about where he's coaching next. But we'll be back next week to talk more Titans developments. Until then, Denard, thanks as always.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
John Glennon, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
And thank you all for listening and for downloading. As always, this is Believe in Titans.